I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
That's right. Jump on those phone lines. We're talking the new evangelization. The number's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we will put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams. Michael McCall produces the program. Your call screener is Mr. Matt Gubensky. Only it's not Mr. Matt Gubensky today. Is it Jeff Burson? Is it Rich Jesse? It's Jeff Burson. Nice person who's doubling up, doing a little phone screening and a little social media. Or is Michael McCall doing social media? Yeah, somebody doing
social
media. Find
out what's going on there.
It's on there. You know, I only work here. You know, and our producer man extraordinaire, Mr. Michael McCall, insists on starting the program on time. It's one of his little hang-ups, right? And you and I can't finish our pre-show conversations because he starts the show.
I was like, whoa, here we go.
Yeah, so but I'm going to finish the conversation simply because I want all of our listeners to pray for my newly acquired daughter, Thea, the youngest daughter of the lovely and talented Johnette Bankovic Williams, who tomorrow will be giving birth to her second set of twins.
Wow.
So please, everybody, keep Thea. And they call it, you know, when it's twins, they call them baby A and baby B until they're born and until they're named. But these are number 6 and 7 for Thea, so I said they should call them baby F and baby G.
There you go.
Yeah, but they still call them baby A and baby B. But please keep Thea, who is remarkable. She'll have 7 children, 6 of them under the age of 5 with 2 sets of twins.
Holy cow.
I'm telling
you. Good job.
She is the most composed, joyful woman I've ever met in my entire life. She is absolutely a testimony to God giving you the grace you need to handle the things that he's called you to, because she is absolutely amazing. So please keep Thea and the new babies and the whole family in your prayers, if you would be so kind. Again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. It's 833-288-3986. I've got an email here.
Wow, that's good.
It's from Danny, who is a girl, and she says, hello, Father. I am 17 years old. I was baptized in the Armenian Orthodox Apostolic Church. Recently, I had a religious spark in me and started watching EWTN and praying the rosary. I was wondering if it was necessary for me to be baptized in the Catholic Church to receive the same blessings as Catholics, going to heaven, the 15 promises of the rosary, the scapular, etc. If so, I live in Los Angeles area and would like to know if there are any priests or churches you would recommend me go to get baptized. So help our friend Danny out there, Father Larry.
Once baptized, always baptized, you know, whether Orthodox, Protestant, you know, we all consider baptism the fully done. So you are fully in there, absolutely. Now, if you wanted to become Roman Rite, that would be something you'd go and talk to a priest about. But you can do as you are. I don't know if you're Orthodox or Byzantine Orthodox, but either way, they still count. You know, so it all counts.
And she shouldn't have any problem in Los Angeles finding a Catholic.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Absolutely.
To find somebody to talk to. And you can do that anytime. That the notion strikes you. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, there are some more formal processes, the rite of Christian initiation of adults, and I'm sure that the whole formal program in your parish, like in most parish, starts at a particular time of the year and ends at the Easter Vigil. Well, it doesn't end at the Easter Vigil, but it culminates at the Easter Vigil and then carries on with some additional formation after that, mystagogia, one of my favorite words.
Ooh.
And but they can jump into that process at any time, can't they?
Absolutely. And if it's something you want to become Roman in, then all you have to do, it usually starts in the fall, September or October. And but again, you need to talk to a priest about it in your area, but you don't have to get rebaptized. You'd just be received into the church. And if you're Orthodox, you probably got confirmation and everything already. So, but again, no, it'd be interesting. Just talk to a priest and be able to help you out with all that.
We have an anonymous email that says, "Dear Father Larry, can you please provide some pastoral advice on how to reach out to my sister? She is in an emotionally abusive marriage, and despite undergoing counseling, my brother-in-law, who has anger issues, continues to blame and belittle her. How do I encourage her and reassure her of God's presence when it seems like everything in her life is falling apart and our prayers for her family seem to go unanswered? I also struggle with knowing whether to encourage her to persevere through their difficulties for the sake of their sacramental marriage or to advise her to leave for her own emotional well-being." These are difficult situations, huh, Father?
They're very difficult, and it's very difficult to answer that in 3 minutes on the radio. But the reality,
you know what? I'm going to give you four because I like.
Wow, what a guy you are! When first of all, no one needs to stay abused. I mean, you're not in a marriage to be abused. That isn't the reality. But you gotta talk to a priest. You gotta do that first. Second of all, usually when people are being abused, it's because their people are abusing them or bullies. And usually the best thing to do with a bully is to stick up to the bully. My mother, you know, my father was an alcoholic and he could be mean, but he never hit my mother, he hit us, but in a different way. But my mother once looked at him, and this isn't what I'm telling you to do, but she says, "If you ever touch me, I will kill you while you sleep," is what she said to my father. And he never touched her because he was always afraid that she'd kill him while he slept. But anyway, but again, you go, you have to somehow sit there and say, "I will not take this from you." And when someone comes at you and they're belittling you, say, "I will not put up with that from you. Every time you say that, I will walk out of this house. Every time you say that, I will leave you." There's no way you sit there and become a bully, bullied. The best way to deal with a bully is to stand up to a bully. But you got to really just pray. And the best thing to do, I always say, is to pray to Our Lady, you know, and to pray for her by name when you say the rosary, to pray for your sister. But, you know, if she's, it said he was getting counseling, but she would need to get some good counseling too, I would think.
And then we have one more here I want to get to from Edie. And this is it fits into the new evangelization nicely because, you know, sometimes, you know, if we were to approach someone or engage them in conversation, you know, we're not going to give them a couple sentences and they're going to say, "Oh my goodness, I've seen the light. I want to become Catholic."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually it'll be a little bit more of an indifferent response than that. But mm-hmm. sometimes you're going to get people that are going to come back at you mm-hmm. with some stuff. And Edie writes sure. in, "Father, my next-door neighbor wants to save me. I've done my homework, printed stuff out for him, loaned him a copy of Rome Sweet Home, told him about the Eucharist, etc. I told him I'm not giving up my faith, and I'm not saying he's not saved, but can't he just accept my faith, and I'll save him a place if we both get to heaven? He said he worries about me. I pray for him and his wife every day. Any suggestions short of selling my house?"
Yeah, I wouldn't sell your house. I think that what you're doing for him is the same thing he's doing for you. Again, everybody, we all know that we're right and everybody else is wrong. That's the way we all work. And so when it's someone like him, you have to at least know that he's doing it because he cares about you. And because he cares about you, though he's misguided, in his heart of hearts, he's doing everything in his power to bring you to salvation. In your heart of hearts, you want to do everything in your power to bring him to salvation, huh? And so what we do is, again, it's only the Holy Spirit that can convert anyone, as I've said 100 million times. So you pray to the Holy Spirit, and you just keep praying for him and ask the Spirit to reveal the truth to him and ask the Spirit to, in you, to open up the door. And when the door opened, you walk through that door. But the biggest thing, again, is that you just pray the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of the living God would bring him to the conversion he longs for and he desires. Because what a great man. If here's a man who believes in Jesus and wants everybody to know about Jesus, well, that's a good thing. We just have to bring him to the fullness of the truth. Wow, it could be a great thing.
Just getting started, talking the new evangelization on an open line Thursday. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Open line Thursday with Father Larry.
Peggy Normandin.
I was really pretty vain in my mid-20s. I was consumed with all those, you know, superficial trappings in life. Well, during this time, I had a dream where my grandmother appeared to me. She was a very loving, plain, modest woman of great faith. Well, in the dream, she was absolutely radiant. And she said, "This is what I look like now. Everything is perfect in heaven, Peggy. This is all that matters." What a powerful spiritual wake-up call that was.
Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin. Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, "Now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies." And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we asked for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, one of the staples on EWTN Radio for a long time, from the very beginning, as a matter of fact, has been Catholic Answers Live, and you can now see Catholic Answers Live on TV, EWTN Television, so be sure to check out Catholic Answers Live TV this Saturday afternoon, 5 Eastern Time, again, on EWTN Television. To the phones we go. Our leadoff hitter today is Sheila in Sonora, California. She's watching on YouTube. Hi, Sheila. You're on with Father Larry.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I'm not Catholic only because I'm waiting for the next RCIA class, okay?
Okay.
But
well,
I'm
welcome.
I'm already looking to evangelize a very dear friend of mine, but he presents kind of a special case. He's pretty high on the sociopathy scale. And so I'm wondering if the Catholic Church has a position on sociopathy and hopefully some guidance as to how to reach him.
I have no idea what sociopathy is. What is it?
You know what a sociopath is?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
it's a sociopath?
Is what they have.
Holy cow. So he's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Yes, yes.
Well, there you go. Wow. And you're a good friend with him? Isn't that great?
Yes, I am. I've known him for about 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord put it on my heart to stand with him.
Okay.
It's been a challenge, but he really does try to conduct himself in what he understands to be an honorable way.
Sure.
He's morally clumsy, but he does put forth an effort.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I've done everything I can to support him in trying to move in that direction. But, you know, being a sociopath, it makes it hard. And so, it takes a long time to earn a sociopath's trust.
Well, I'd give you two things. The first thing would be is you pray for him, because only the Spirit of God can bring him to truth. Not you and not any kind of argument. Only God's Holy Spirit. So, and then one of the best things you can do with that is if you haven't learned yet the Divine Mercy Chaplet, is learn it and put his name in there. Because of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on Joe and on the whole world, or because of his sorrowful passion. But the bigger thing is, you know, Dr. Ray has a show on here too. I'm with him on Saturday nights. I have to put up with him once a week when I'm on there, but he has a show every day, and he's a psychologist, and he'd be the one that would really be able to help you do that in a more explicit way. But he's on, what time is he on, Jack?
1 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, right here on EWTN Radio.
Sure, so if you just call during his time, he'd be able to help even more. Does that help you, Sheila?
Called the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, is that correct?
The Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. You just look it up, and it's set on a rosary beads, and it's very, very simple.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, God bless you, Sheila. We will keep you and your friend in our prayers, and we hope that you get that RCIA class cranked up, and we look forward to welcoming you in at the next Easter Vigil. Next up is Patrick in Downers Grove, Illinois, listening on the EWTN app. Patrick, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Father Larry. How are you?
I am blessed. What is up with you?
I am blessed as well. Very nice to hear from you. I was hoping that you could comment. So I recently got in a disagreement with another Catholic.
Okay.
And we were commenting on the word believe in our creed.
Mm-hmm.
In our creeds, we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, sure. And so on and so on. He wanted to replace the word with no. Instead of saying believe, he wanted to say no. I said, you can't do that.
No.
But we treat this as if we know the truth, but you can't quite certainly say that we absolutely know this is the truth. Can you comment on that?
Sure. First of all, he can't change the creed, because the creed is part of our revelation and what the church has taught us. So we can't change the creed. The first thing. The second thing, I get what he's saying, that we're called to know, I know God, of course, you know, and that's a teaching of the church. But there's still always a faith element in things, meaning that we can know him and experience him in a very intimate way, but there's still faith that he will take care of us, that this is who he is as Trinity, because you can know God and have a great relationship with him, but not know all about him, not know that he is Trinity unless he reveals that to us. So there's part of this knowledge of him, but belief goes even deeper and is more mysterious, and it embraces the mystery of God, as opposed when you say, oh, I know him, that limits God to a very imperfect person and saying, I know God. Well, you know God, but you don't know all of God. So belief goes beyond what a person would know individually. Does that help you, Patrick?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that definitely helps. And you know, when we got into the disagreement, I kind of compared it to the science realm in mm-hmm. terms of law and theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when something's a law, you know, like the law of gravity, mm-hmm. if I jump off a cliff, I know that I'm going to fall and either injure myself or kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you look at theories obviously aren't laws, because you know, it's not a proven fact, although there's been rigorous experiments that we might know that this is the truth, but it's not mm-hmm. in an absolute sense. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. I think that's a great way. And, you know, we will all explain it in different ways, but tell him that if he's a Catholic, he abides by what the church teaches us, not what he thinks is best. You know, so there's a big difference. If he wants to go changing things, well, Protestants do that all the time. He can do that. But in the Catholic Church, this is what we believe. Okay?
Thanks, Patrick. We appreciate that phone call. That frees up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the number Mary used. She is in the great state of Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Mary, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Father. Hi, Father Larry.
And how are you?
I'm doing okay, then, Mother.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I know someone. I would like to help them. They speak about St. John Paul
Mm-hmm. The second as mm-hmm. have knowing about the abuse scandal, and he mm-hmm. hasn't, he didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but I was just wondering if you could give me some advice or.
Yeah, know. Again, my big thing is we're in the midst of that in our diocese with everything that the like, and I know one priest. I've known him for 30 years. I knew him quite well. I would go to confession to him, and he was just arrested for abusing children, and I had absolutely no idea, none, zilch. I'd have bet $1 million that he wasn't that type of guy. He was very Orthodox, very, you know, said the Latin Mass, involved in Fatima, all these wonderful things, and yet he was, oh my. Very, very, very bad. And during John Paul's time, you know, even the founder of the Legionnaires, he was like Benedict says, he did great evil, and he did very bad evil. He was an evil, evil reality of this man. And yet, under John Paul II, he grew, and everybody really thought this man was going to be a saint. Well, we found out it was the exact opposite. So I think that John Paul just did not have any idea, because he was a very strong man, and he would have came down hard on any of these type things, you know. And Benedict, that was part, you know, as soon as Benedict got in there, that he start cleaning house, and now Francis is in there and really cleaning house. But John Paul, the great saint, I don't think would cover it up after anybody. But none of us really know that. I could say that and say I would be willing to do any, you know, to believe that. But I don't know John Paul's heart. I don't know what was going on. But in my mind, he would never, ever, ever stick up or to allow that kind of stuff to happen. Does that help? I mean, okay. It's a hard thing. Trust me.
Yeah, that does help because, you know, I really didn't know about that stuff. I'm sorry I'm interrupting. But
no, it's fine.
Because I just put him up on a pedophile loving. So, but
sure.
The thing is, I still love him. Yeah.
Well, of
you know,
course.
Even though I didn't know about it. But I
and at the end of his life for the last couple of years, I mean, he really, people would keep things from him too, you know, because he could only do so much, you know. So that was the whole point. That's exactly why Pope Benedict says, okay, I'm going to make sure that, you know, this, I don't want any of this stuff because to get away from me. And so I'm going to retire, you know, and so he did it on a purpose. But St. John Paul II was a great man. I don't think there was another greater man in our lifetime than John Paul II. I believe he really changed the world, this one man. And so, but that doesn't, I don't know what he knew. But again, I don't think he'd ever do anything like what the guy is saying.
You know, and this is, I think oftentimes this is an easy target for those who don't really want to address the issues in their own life from a spiritual standpoint.
Absolutely. But again, though, it's an excuse for why they don't come into the church or come back to the church, you know. But I get it. Honest to goodness, I get it. You know, trust me, I've been in the church my whole life and I've been intimate with it since I was 17, and I've seen all kinds of good and bad. But God still is true, and his the teaching are true in spite of any humanness of all of us, and including me. You know, people sit there and I get a temper and a half, and I'll go crazy sometimes and look at me and say, Father, and you're a priest, and you're on the radio, and you're on television, and look at you. And I go, and I am a jerk sometimes. It's just the way it is. But the truth is still the truth in spite of our humanity.
Next up is Joanne in Cummings, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Joanne, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Joanne.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a friend who is Lutheran, mm-hmm. and she recently attended the confirmation mass of her granddaughter at mm-hmm. A cathedral in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and she says the bishop invited all to come to the Eucharist, mm-hmm. and I tried to explain that, not trying to accuse her of anything, mm-hmm. but I told her that no, it was nice words trying to say those who are faithful Catholics. How can I explain this, and how can I find, I know I've heard this at funeral masses and such, that, you know, how to invite people to the Eucharist without inviting
those that are
well,
not
you encourage
Catholic.
Them for a blessing. Communion it shows that they're not just in communion with Jesus, but in communion with the church. That's why we don't allow non-Catholics, because they're not in communion with us. Now, Lutherans have a pretty similar idea about the Eucharist as opposed to, we believe in transubstantiation. They believe in consubstantiation, meaning that we believe that Christ is present in the Eucharist and stays there, and they believe he's present in the Eucharist, but only while the Mass, or not their Mass, their service is going on. And so sometimes just explaining it, something as simple as that, it's like, again, my example many times has been, it's like having sex before marriage. It isn't true yet. You're not truly married, so you can't show the union until you are. And it's the same with the church. It's, we're not in union yet, and we need to be.
God bless you, Joanne. We appreciate the phone call today. The number again to be on the program is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. Then we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards.
Dr. David Anders.
Our assurance of salvation is grounded in the objective word of promise from Christ, who said to the apostles, "Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven." Period, end of paragraph.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
One Midwestern state lawmaker says it's not just young people who need to be disciplined for bullying, especially online. I'm Teresa Tomeo from Catholic Connection with another Media Minute here on EWTN. Legislation to make cyberbullying a crime in Michigan is advancing in the state Senate there. Representative Peter Lucido of suburban Detroit sponsoring two measures that were unanimously approved recently by the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We're talking about not only adolescents, but adults. They can cross the line in either social media, they can cross the line on text messaging, anything to do that they don't do face-to-face.
The representative notes that the state does not have any laws addressing what has become a growing problem, he says, in schools and in workplaces. Lucido's bills would define cyberbullying as any message posted with a clear intent to communicate fear of bodily harm or death. I'm Teresa Tomeo with another Media Minute here on EWTN.
Have you heard about Church Pop? Church Pop features new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
Here's today's quote from Mother Angelica's perpetual calendar. How good God is to give me His Holy Spirit to supply what I need to strive for holiness. I must not stray to the right or left, but keep to the middle of the road, straight as an arrow, to arrive at a humble detachment from myself. This will keep me from despair and from presumption. Mother's Perpetual Calendar is available from the EWTN Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Coming up tomorrow on More to Life, Let It Go.
What does it take to leave behind past hurts? We'll help you heal. Tune in to More to Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Open Line with Father Larry Richards.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You can also text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. That's what Anonymous did. My wife has recently become Catholic. While she has been to reconciliation with me a few times, she is still uncomfortable with the idea of confessing her sins to a priest. How can I encourage her to go to confession in a loving way?
The biggest thing is always to know that it's not the priest you're dealing with, it's Jesus. You know, it's the priest is in persona Christi. That means that when you're confessing, it's really Jesus that's there. And it's Jesus you meet, just like it's Jesus you meet at the Mass and different things. So that would be the first thing. The second thing, you know, there's a lot of materials out there. I have a CD on confession. If you had her listen to it in an hour, we talk about some of those things and give her a really comfortable way of going to confession and to make sure that she knows what's going on. The third thing is that, you know, when you go to confession, it makes real. Physically real what's happening spiritually, you know, so that if you go and say, well, I just go right to a priest, well, that's nice, but then you don't really know that you're forgiven. But when you come before a priest, the priest says, now I absolve you of all your sins. And so most people go around with this mask on their face and they think, if anyone really knew me, this stuff I've done, which I hate myself for. And then you can go to a priest and the priest will sit there and look at you and not only know that thing you hate most about yourself, but still tell you you're forgiven, you're loving, you're loved, and you're now begin a new life in Jesus. It's one of the most healing things ever. But again, sometimes people have had bad experiences. I've had very bad experiences in confession, even as a priest, you know, and so, but it's not God's fault. It's the person who he's using at that moment who's not doing what he needs to be doing. But again, it's just to tell her not to be afraid. Meet Jesus. Get something that'll help her, like my CD. It's just called Confession. It would be very helpful to you.
Next stop is Northwest Ohio. Mary is in Ohio listening to Annunciation Radio. Mary, you're on with Father Larry Richards.
Hello, Mary.
Thank you.
What's up?
I want to say to Jack, I appreciate him and Johanna's wedding. And if Prince Harry could have his wedding on TV, I wonder if you guys maybe took some videos of your wedding.
Ooh.
And we could all see it and you could show it on EWTN.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's beyond my pay grade, Mary, but we'll take it under advisement. Thank you very much for the kind words.
Oh, I'm sure Doug would love that. Let's do it.
I think we should, because we all couldn't come to your wedding.
Exactly. You tell him there, Mary. You tell him.
Thank you for all your hard work.
He's such a
worker. And for what you're doing for the body of Christ. I know it can't be easy. And my question.
Yes.
I have often wondered, when you see during the Mass where the chalice is covered,
mm-hmm.
and then after the consecration, it's covered again, what mm-hmm. is the purpose of that?
Well, it's a very practical purpose. It's to keep bugs out of the chalice is what it's for. Because it used to be, you know, when we didn't have air conditioning and that, you know, the church windows were open and flies were everywhere. And so you put the cover on throughout the whole thing so a fly or some kind of bug doesn't fly into the precious blood. It's very practical.
How's that for a deep philosophical answer for you, Mary?
Huh?
I said, how's that for a deep spiritual answer for you?
Not very deep and not very spiritual, but it makes sense.
It's very true, though.
There you go. God bless you, Mary.
God bless you.
833-288. I like Mary. 833-288-EWTN is the number. 833-288-3986. Next up is Joseph in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening on 103.1 FM. Joseph, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Joseph.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hello.
What's
good afternoon.
Up?
How are the two of you?
Blessed.
So I'm a Protestant, and, yep. you know, so I kind of chuckled when you said, you know, Protestants tend to change things.
Sure.
It's
true.
I think that's somewhat subjective, but that said.
Okay. Well, that's how come we have so many different Protestant churches, is it not?
Well, I think we all tend to. I tend to look at the reality that scripture interprets scripture. And
okay.
So I allow that to be, I don't know that translates, because as you indicated, humanism does not, take away from what is true. So
absolutely.
But
again, though, let's deal with what you just said. Scripture interprets scripture. Well, what do you talk about when Jesus said, this is my body? So, Paul talks about explicitly that this is my body, that it's his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So scripture interprets scripture. So why doesn't all people believe in the real presence of the Eucharist?
Well, but then, so if we address that, then we have to also look at the reality of there having been obviously four cups. And mm-hmm. so in that meal, with yep. there having been the four cups, to the point of it being married to the church. So if there was a cup, three cups specific to set groups, one having been more to, you know, obviously the angels, if you will, and,
sure.
and then two set groups, but then that one cup being made available to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so with respect to that, I when people change, put their doctrine, I'm not one that feels that, you know, people have to put their doctrine, and people do it. And I think it's a form of lack of revelation, because earlier you talked about, you know, we can have a relationship with God, but if people mm-hmm. don't have a revelation, then they'll mm-hmm. they'll always make their, you know, I like to say their movements and their interpretations, which will be an error, based sure. on what they think they know about God, as opposed to getting a true revelation through the Holy Spirit. So I think sure. we have more of an issue with the lack of true revelation of the Holy Spirit revealing what it still needs to be, just that one body, not having it such a degree of separatism within the body of Christ.
Okay. And what's your question?
And so my question was with respect to your perspective on, and just wanted to get understanding when you made the indication to the young lady about being married to the church as well mm-hmm. as married to Christ. So I'm really enjoying what you're saying. And so I just kind of wanted to build to my wealth of understanding, and because okay. I'm really enjoying the show.
Well, great. Thanks for calling us, Joseph. And again, what it talks about, like my father was a Presbyterian, and I was brought to Jesus Christ by Billy Graham when I was 17 years old. And but just like if a person goes and gets married, they might be madly in love, they might have spiritual reality, but until they actually get married before God and give their life to each other, they should not have sex, because that's called fornication, and it would show that something is present that really isn't present there yet. The sharing of the bodies means I've given my life for you, and I've given everything, spiritually, psychologically, financially, physically, everything I've given you, and that's what happens at marriage. And so it's carried out, or we call it consummation in sexuality. So the same when it comes to for communion in our faith, that when a person goes to communion, first of all, they need the faith of it. They need to have the faith that this is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity. Because again, if I was to ask somebody, if they had to come up and I'd say, do you believe this is Jesus? And there's Catholics who don't believe that it's truly God, but we believe. And when a person says amen, when I say the body of Christ, they say amen. That means I would stake my life on what you just said. So when a person says amen, they're saying, I would die for the Eucharist. So if these radical Muslims came and they were all at the close, all the doors with machine guns, and they say, those of you who believe that that piece of bread becomes God, you stay and die. Those who don't, you can leave. Well, the ones that would stay and die would be the ones who have the faith of the church. That here is the ones. But a lot of people, even Catholics, would just run out that door. But every time you go to confession and say amen, you're saying, I would die for the real presence of Jesus Christ. So first of all, for someone to receive that, they have to have that faith. The second thing they need is to have the union with the whole body. Meaning that we all believe what we believe that's been revealed to us by Jesus Christ. Now, what happens is people have part of that faith. They have, you know, they have, well, I agree with you in this and this, Father, but I don't agree with you in this. Okay. But from the beginning, it's always been you have to be in full agreement with everything to share the precious body and blood of Jesus. Does that help you, Joseph?
Yes, man. I said not yes, man, but sure. Yes, Father. That was very, very helpful. I apologize for that. But it's
no, don't apologize. I'm glad. No
God bless
problem.
You, Joseph.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
calling
the
us.
Phone call. We appreciate
Absolutely.
Your kind attitude as well. The number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Next up is Maria in Irvine, California. She's listening online. Maria, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Maria.
Hi, Father Larry.
How are you?
How are you?
Blessed,
I'm
of
well,
course.
Thank you.
Good. What's up?
So my question is, I wanted your opinion and mm-hmm. your thoughts on a parish that I used to attend when I was younger mm-hmm. is now they have a new priest, a new mm-hmm. pastor, who's mm-hmm. fairly young, and he's diocesan, of course, but he makes it very, very clear to the young or the youth of the parish that he's only a priest when he's in clerics. and he swears like a sailor.
Oh.
When he wears regular clothes, and I don't want to even imagine what else he does when he's not wearing his clerics. So I just wanted your thoughts on that, because it just didn't sit well with me, and it's been bothering me for months now.
Well, and again, I think that if he says that kind of stuff, he'd be wrong, of course. A priest is a priest is a priest. You know, like we've heard 1,000 times that there is no vacation from your vocation. Like even when I'm on vacation, I still do my holy hour every day. I still say mass every day. I'm still a priest of Jesus Christ. You know, it's so funny. I was at a bar once. Yes, I go to a bar in Las Vegas, and there was an atheist that came and he sat there. He was playing in it was an Irish pub, and I didn't have my cleric on. And he came and he sat next to me and he said, "What do you do?" I said, "I am a priest of Jesus Christ." And he said, "Well, I'm an atheist." I said, "That's why God sent a priest of Jesus Christ here to deal with you." And it was unbelievable, the conversation. And we got him back. That was the whole point. And I couldn't have done that unless I was there. So it was the smell of the sheep. But we are priests no matter what we're wearing. And so, but what you need to do is write a letter that's not condemning, but write a letter or have someone who would be doing it. "Father, I heard you said this, and you are always a priest, and I'm always praying for you," and da-da-da, you know, because, again, sometimes the younger ones are usually not like that at all, so it's very unusual that someone would even say anything like that. But that would be usually something will happen during the 60s. But not,
yeah, usually you'd have a hard time getting him out of a cassock.
Exactly. So that's quite interesting that that's even happening. But no, of course, we're always priests, and we'll stand before God as a priest, and he's going to judge us whether we had our collar on or not.
Next stop for us is Sulphur Springs, Texas. Lewis is in Sulphur Springs, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Is it Lewis or Luis?
Lewis.
Lewis, welcome to the program. There you're on with go. Father Larry.
Hi, hello, Father Larry. Lewis. Hello from East Texas.
Great. I love Texas.
I do too. You can take the heat for a little while. So,
yeah, we had a hard 90s this week up here too. What's up?
Oh my goodness. I wanted to comment on an earlier caller, Joanne, I believe was her name. Mm-hmm. And you were making told her about the difference between the Catholic belief in transubstantiation as compared to the Lutheran belief in consubstantiation. So if that is the case, then why in the Credo do we say consubstantial with the Father?
I don't know the word enough. You know that when they put that word in the Creed, it's been there, but when we translate it, I'm like, oh, okay, what does it actually mean? But it talks about one in being with the Father. The way they, and again, you should talk to Dr. Right before me on this. He could be able to explain.
Dr. David Anders.
Yeah, Dr. David Anders. He knows this stuff, and he's much smarter than I do. Even when he disagrees with me, he's much smarter than I am. But because I don't know the theology enough behind that one word. That's why my thing's mostly on evangelization and not a doctrine or that kind of stuff. So I'm sorry about that there, Lewis. But talk to doctor and he'd be able to help you. Or you can call next week when the Holy Father Mitch is on, who
on
knows
Wednesday.
Everything mm-hmm. about everything. You know, he knows more than all of us, literally. But one of those two would be the ones to call, not me.
Thank you,
I'm
Lewis.
Sorry I can't help you.
God bless you, Lewis. We certainly appreciate the phone call. You know, it's funny sometimes because, you know, Father Mitch is so laid back and he can be so goofy sometimes that you forget how brilliant he is, and then he'll just drop
something.
Unbelievable. He'll just drop something on you and you'll be like, okay.
I don't, when I'm in front of him, I don't want to talk because I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong. Like, no, that's not right, Larry. Ah, okay. Well, what are you going to do?
You learn something every time.
Absolutely.
We'll head next to South Bend, Indiana. Mary Ann is in South Bend listening on Redeemer Radio. Mary Ann, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mary Ann. Hi, Father Larry, for taking my call. I listen to you every time that you're on EWTN. I like your comments and at the end what you say about do it or whatever. I can't think of what it is that you say at the end
of
all. But anyway, I'm the grandmother. I have a granddaughter that has had an abortion, and she's a Lutheran. And then mm-hmm. I have a niece, I'm an aunt to this niece that had an abortion. So, mm-hmm. and my niece was baptized Catholic, but now she goes to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And my granddaughter, okay. I don't think she goes to church at all. So what can I tell either one of them about confession to be able to confess the sin that they committed?
And sure. Well, the last thing you want to do is make them feel more guilty, because but they already feel great guilt for what they've done when they've taken their children's lives. But what you need to do is you need to prepare their hearts for that before you'd say anything, and that would be a great thing is by saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for them and putting their names in there, asking God to have mercy on them and on the whole world, and so God's mercy can start working on them. And then you pray the Holy Spirit and ask the Spirit of the living God, if the door opens, that you have the ability to say something. And ways, when you talk about, when I say about saying something, it means to be reconciled. There is a great program around, you know, and I know it's up in your area too, Project Rachel. It's Project Rachel? And it's a weekend retreat program. And it's just for people who have had abortions. But you can also go online and have them go online, and it's for people who have had abortions, and they will be able to give all kinds of resources for you. And I think that would be one of the best things you can do. It's and if online, it's just Hope After Abortion, hopeafterabortion.com, just Hope After Abortion, oneword.com. And it just gives you all kinds of resources that you could get both of them, whether they're Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, doesn't matter. But Hope After Abortion. And there's a lot of things that can bring them some healing and hopefully get them to repent of that. Does that help you?
Oh, yeah, to say the Divine Chaplet and put their names in there, and then yes. to pray to the Holy Spirit to guide.
And then...
push any further away.
No, that's why if you'd get them to go to that website, say, you know, I was talking to someone and they get a very great website called hopeafterabortion.com, and they might, and that way, or you can write it down and let it around their place, so not even saying a word to them, just type that out and put it somewhere, and then they might sit there and find that themselves, and that would even be better.
God bless you, Marianne. Thanks so much for that phone call. The latest offering from EWTN Publishing is from Dominican Father Wojciech Giertych, and it's called The Spark of Faith, Understanding the Power of Reaching Out to God. And Father Giertych will basically talk about how to recognize God as the source of all spiritual goods that we need and cherish. He served as the theologian of the papal household for two different holy fathers and currently resides at the Vatican. His wisdom is wisdom that you can trust. That's The Spark of Faith, Understanding the Power of Reaching Out to God, available now at EWTNRC.com. Next up is Kim. She's in the Republic of Texas. She's on Twitter watching us today. Kim, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Kim.
Okay. Hey, Father. How are you today?
I'm very blessed. What is up?
Well, I have kind of a whopper of a question, I suspect.
Okay.
But I have come to the Catholic Church via the Greek Orthodox Church,
mm-hmm.
and have been really blessed by the Catholic Church and the resources and really the clear... and for lack of a better term, chain of command and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, have it's deep in my heart to have all Christians unified.
Sure,
and it's my
of
hope
course.
And prayer that someday that will occur. But in coming to understand and come to grips with, where I come from and where I am now, I have to wonder about the see of Peter and the authority of Peter over the church, and just knowing that there's so many Catholics worldwide, not only in number, but also, you know, as I said earlier, the resources, the leadership, and basically mm-hmm.
the fact that the Catholic Church is thriving. Mm-hmm. If I contrast that with the Eastern Orthodox Church, that church is really diminishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to wonder, and wanted to know what you thought about what that might say about the authority of Peter versus the Orthodox belief of, you know, that the Bishop of Rome was one among many.
Sure.
One among equals, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And again, go ahead.
What you thought about that.
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, nobody really cares what I think. Thanks for asking. But the reality is, there you go, the reality of the Orthodox is the beautifulness of the Orthodox faith and the mystery and the liturgy. I mean, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. But sometimes in the midst of it, and it's what we've had for many, many years, is sometimes in the Orthodoxy, I was in Greece, and there was all these Orthodox priests, and I'd say, "Good morning, Father. Hi, Father." And they would turn their head from me. They wouldn't even look at me. There was such an arrogance there that they hated us. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, have mercy." And it wasn't just one. I had a past 50 priests at different times the whole week, and not one would even acknowledge that I was alive. It was terrible. And so, but what happens is, like I've always said in the Catholic faith, years ago, people would say, you know, come to my parish or go to hell. And that's what they meant. You know, we're not reaching out to anybody. We have the fullness of truth. If you like it, come. If you don't, hell with you. You know, that's pretty basic wrong. But the reality is that what I think the Catholic Church, what Rome is starting to do now, is we're talking about more and more, we need to evangelize, we need to evangelize, we need to evangelize. And it's in the evangelization where we meet people where they are and we bring them to where Jesus wants them to be, which I think has really been the thing that's helped us to grow. And depending on what part of the world or even in the state you are, the church is either growing or it's dying, you know. In our area, it seems to be dying because a lot of young people are moving away. And so we have to even double our efforts in ecumenism. But then, too, and that's what, you know, and we do that because John Paul II, I was ordained in 89, and in 1990, he started the whole thing of the Decade of Evangelization. And he said, our job for these years is to evangelize. And I was in Rome in 1990 for the Worldwide Retreat for Priests, and he got up, and Mother Teresa was there. And there is other speakers there, and I'll never forget, one of the speakers says, what we need to do as pastors is we need to be better shepherds. He says, fishermen. He says, we're great shepherds, but not so great fishermen. And that means we need to be more concerned about the people who aren't there than we are for the people that are there. Meaning that they're already home, we're taking care of them, but we have to always be reaching out and reaching out. And so it was the Pope that told us this is what we needed to do, and all of us said, okay, let's do it. And so we need the visionary up there and say, okay, we all need to be pushing that way. So, you know, but I think that we've all been through that same stuff. Does that help you, Kim?
It does. It does. And it makes me think that, you know, they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Exactly. You know? Absolutely. And for all of us, I mean, that's Jesus said, very simple. All people know you're my disciples because you love one another. John chapter 13, verse 35. You can't get there. So if we're not loving one another, even though we have truth coming out of our ears, we're not truly disciples of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple.
And very quickly, in 30 seconds, Father Larry, Kim in Dallas, yep, Texas, wants to know the definition of transubstantiation.
Transubstantiation means the bread becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ and stays that way till the elements are no longer present.
But all the while maintaining the appearance of bread and wine.
Of course, yes, of course.
Would you leave us with a blessing, Father?
Father God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to us right now. Give them your peace and your Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, and our call screener / social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Tomorrow they're throwing me out of here. Colin Donovan and his theologians are taking over for EWTN's Theology Roundtable. We'll be back at it again Monday with John Martinoni. Until then, God bless.